Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, I'm Whitney Port and this is With Wit. A lot of you may know me from reality TV, and the reality is a lot's happened since The Hills. With Wit is dedicated to having real, raw, and occasionally ridiculous conversations with the people who have had a profound impact on me. Life-changing moments, life-changing people. Because on With Wit, very little is off limits. Everyone, welcome to With Wit. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you know I have become a little bit obsessed with cooking right now. My husband and I are trying to get into it. We are definitely getting motivated and inspired for Thanksgiving since we are hosting it this year. All this to be said, I know that my obsession is going to grow after speaking with my next guest, Tegan Gerard. She is here with me to talk all about her food blogging business, Half Baked Harvest. She has a new cookbook out titled Half Baked Harvest, Super Simple, which you definitely need to check out. Here is Tegan.
Thank you for that nice intro. So sweet. I'm excited to talk food with you.
I know. Okay. So first, let's talk about how you got into cooking. Was it something you were always passionate about?
No, not really. I'm from a big family. I'm one of seven. So
kids or seven people?
Seven kids.
Oh my God.
My parents, you know, were the young teeny bopper, get married at 18, just keep pop out the kids.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm one of five. I mean, one of five kids. Yeah. So I understand
the
mentality.
You're very close. It's actually, I wouldn't have had it any other way. Like, I love growing up with a big family.
Yeah.
But so, you know, like, dinner was crazy. My dad worked 9 to 5, then like went to the gym afterwards. So like, we wouldn't eat till later. And I was just like, when I was like 13, I was like, I'm just going to start cooking. And I started cooking, kind of loved it. Like, loved the reactions I was getting from my family members. Everybody was excited about it. It was fun. It was something to do after school. Always been like a very creative person. Never wanted to like sit still, really. So I just started cooking for the family and then cooked all through middle school and high school. And I started Half Baked Harvest when I was 19. So right out of high school.
Oh my gosh. And how old are you now?
I'm 26.
Oh my gosh.
I wish I was still that baby that was 19. I'm like, dang, I'm 26.
No, I mean, first of all, 26 is still a baby. But you're so much like wiser now, don't you think? You have so much more experience under your belt and you're more like confident. I don't know.
You
That's
know
how
what?
I feel like
I still
older.
Need the confidence. Like everybody's like, once you hit 30, you're going to get it. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I'm building it slowly.
It comes. It definitely comes. I think that there is something to be said about getting to that 30
age.
I'm
like nervous. I don't need to get there right away.
You have some time.
I have a little bit of time.
Yeah. So you started cooking. Was your mom just not cooking?
Oh, she was the baker of the family.
Okay.
Sorry,
okay.
I didn't mention that. Yeah. So my dad did dinner and it was always just like, you know, chicken and rice, tacos, like the super like basic. Yes. And my mom would have dessert on the table before dinner. Like she was.
Stop it.
Yes.
You guys had dessert every night?
Oh yeah. Like fresh baked cookies, chocolate cake. Like she was the baker.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And can't complain. Like we were kids. We loved it. You
know?
But you also have to eat solid food at some point.
Of course.
She was just like not, I mean, she can cook, but like not like, it's just not her thing.
Yeah. And you didn't want to wait for your dad to get home from the gym.
Yeah.
We were like, I'm just going to do it.
Like our family used to eat at like 9:30.
Oh my God. It was like, with seven kids. That's man.
That's why. Like it's just too much chaos.
Yeah. I mean, also did everybody have different tastes? Because I know in my family, like my mom, she was one of those moms that would actually like make different things for everyone, which is not the best thing to do.
Like I'm sure I don't have kids yet, but like I'm sure parenting don't do that, right?
Right.
Like, it's like a no-no. You have kids.
Yeah, you have to force your kids to get into new foods, try new things, and also like not be annoying picky eaters like all of us are now.
Yeah, no, my brothers are annoying picky eaters.
Yeah.
They all eat the same foods. So that's why it was just like a lot of chicken and rice, a lot of tacos, like very basic. I'm from Cleveland originally, so like that, you know, Midwest food.
Yeah.
I'm the one that had to introduce them to like some different foods. So.
Yeah. So you got really into cooking. What inspired you to then start an Instagram feed and a blog?
Yeah. Well, the blog came first, funny enough. This was like, Instagram was alive, like alive.
Because you're young, so.
But I wasn't on Instagram. So it was my brothers that were like, why aren't you on Instagram? I'm like, I don't know. What's Instagram? I actually was going to go to school for fashion here in LA. I was going to go to FITM. Came out here, got a job, worked for 3 months. Was like, nope, not doing LA. Can't do it. Just like, I'm small town girl. Yeah. Like I like Colorado. I'm from a small little town. Missed my family, honestly. A little bit homesick. I was 18 at the time. So maybe a little bit young to be completely on my own. I don't know.
You don't have to justify it. It just didn't feel right.
It just didn't feel right at all. It was the best decision I made. Came home. It was actually my mom that was like, why don't you start a food blog? Because I had been cooking and like reading food blogs for a little bit. And blogs were slowly becoming a thing. This was like 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm, crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I started Half Baked Harvest and just never looked back. I was still living at home at the time. So I was able to like, you know, live off the family for a bit and really work to build Half Baked Harvest. So I did that for like a good year and a half. And in that year and a half, I saw growth. And then I just kept going.
So what was your original mission? Like, how were you going to separate yourself from all the other food bloggers out there?
I wasn't like, at the time, I wasn't thinking about it. Because it was just, it was so new at the time, I feel like. And I was just like, at a place in my life where I was probably a little bit lost. Like, what am I doing? What do I want to do? So I wasn't necessarily thinking about it. I was just thinking about, I don't know. I was thinking about what recipes I was making, I guess.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't a year and a half into it until I started to strategically think about it and then think about like, how am I going to be different from everybody else? How am I going to do this? How can I make money doing this? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of that breaking point, that year and a half when I sort of started to see engagement and people really following and being excited about the recipes I was creating. So
how did you do that? Like, what do you think sets you apart and how did you plan?
I think I didn't do it purposely. I'm a very visual person, really creative. And that's kind of the way that I think about recipes. Like, I don't think that I think about them in the typical way.
Mm-hmm.
I actually look at a recipe, like I think of it, say, you know, I want to make a chicken stir fry. I don't know. I'm thinking about it not only from a recipe, like what am I putting in this stir fry, but also how am I taking that photo? Because I do all the photography as well. So the thing about food is that we eat with our eyes. Like if something doesn't look good, you don't really want to eat it, right?
100%.
So I'm always thinking about how can I make this recipe look incredibly delicious, especially on Instagram. How can I make this literally say, eat me?
Right.
You know?
But also make sure that it actually is delicious.
Exactly.
Because if someone cooks it and it just looks good, but it's not delicious, they're not going to be coming back for more.
Absolutely. So that has always been my goal really from day one. And I've always asked myself, how can I make this look incredibly delicious, be delicious? And so that's kind of how I approach recipe development. Mm-hmm. And as I'm taking photos, I'm a lot of times like adjusting that recipe, like adding an herb or adding something to give it that special touch to make it look good. But then that also adds flavor. So it's like it's a cool thing. And I don't know that a lot of people think of recipes that way. So I'm already thinking about how the dish is going to look before the dish is even made.
That's amazing. Really helping out a host.
I love hosting. I love like putting tablescapes together. I'm all about presentation. And then I think that really differentiates me from everybody else. I don't have that like stock Food Network photo or Bon Appetit. Like it's a very much a Half Baked Harvest photo and a Half Baked Harvest recipe. There's always like something a little bit special about the recipe that elevates it a little bit.
So do you have any restrictions in your diet or things that you never cook with or, you know, because like some food bloggers are like, this is only going to be a vegan page or this is going to be like a low on sugar page.
Absolutely. So my whole thing is use whole foods, all, you know, like nothing. I don't use anything processed. Okay. I'm not vegan. I'm not gluten free. You'll find a little bit of everything on Half Baked Harvest, but you won't find like processed ingredients. And I'm all about like whole foods, shop the Premier to the grocery store, incorporate produce, use lean meats, things like that. So really anything that like comes up from the ground, I'm using that. And then like I'm staying away from those middle of the store unless I will give an exception for a holiday recipe. And it's like this like tradition and you just got to go for it sometimes. I'm always trying to just incorporate whole foods as much as I can and keep the recipes balanced. I'm all about balance. I'm not like overly healthy or overly one way. Just
I think that's so important. Yeah. I mean, that's what I look to because I believe in moderation. Yep. I believe in sometimes going to the extreme when you want to and then sometimes really watching yourself. So like you are the type of, you know, account that I'd want to follow.
I think that that's how a lot of people like to eat. I think that's how you need to eat. You need, like, food is so exciting and you should be able to experience it if you're going to a great restaurant. If you're in Paris, like, eat the croissant, you know? Like, you got to live a little too. And I think that there is, it's all about balance. Have your salad at lunch. Have something if you need it a little bit more indulgent for dinner, you know? Mm-hmm. We're coming up on the holidays right now. So I feel like enjoy the holidays with your friends and family and eat the foods that are exciting during the holidays.
Right, and that make you happy and that make you feel like you're home and that are traditional.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I always do a healthy January where those recipes are, and they're not boring. They're really great. They're still cozy recipes, but they're just incorporating maybe a little less cheese and using spaghetti squash in place of pasta, things like that, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that mixes mushrooms and adaptogens with coffee, cacao, latte, protein powder, and edible skincare. How cool is that? Did you guys know that 64% of Americans drink coffee daily? Well, in my opinion, most of you guys drinking coffee should actually be drinking Four Sigmatic Mushroom Coffee because it's more than just coffee. It contains lion's mane, which if you haven't heard of it, it's a super functional mushroom. It's your brain's best friend, essentially, and supports focus, productivity, and creativity, especially during a busy day. I'm feeling kind of low on energy, feeling like I need a little pick-me-up, don't want to turn to typical coffee. The Four Sigmatic Mushroom Coffee is really, really a great option. It also includes something called chaga, which is otherwise known as the king of mushrooms. And chaga supports your immune system with antioxidant properties. And we all know how good antioxidants are for us, especially now when it's flu season and everyone's getting sick. This is something that we should all have as part of our daily routine. You're probably thinking, does this actually taste like mushrooms though? And I can guarantee it tastes just like regular coffee, not at all like mushrooms. It's made with 100% organic Arabica coffee beans. It has zero sugar, zero carbs, and zero calories. Plus, it's organic, vegan, paleo, sugar-free, and dairy-free. The great thing about it, if you're a little bit sensitive to caffeine, it only has half the caffeine of regular coffee, but that doesn't take away all the magic it has. It's way easier on my gut, and it doesn't leave me with that like awful jittery feeling or crash. They also have super easy-to-use packets that you can take anywhere. You can stash them in your purse, in your gym bag, in your suitcase, anywhere. Of course, we have a special offer for you guys. You can receive 15% off your Four Sigmatic order. Just go to foursigmatic.com/withwit or enter code withwit at checkout. That's Four Sigmatic, foursigmatic.com/withwit to receive 15% off your order. And now back to our episode. So when you feel like burnt out with food and with creating recipes, what do you do?
Get outside. Like I'm such a big hiker and I live in Colorado, so it's easy for me to do. Mm-hmm. Get outside, get creative, get out of my element and take a break.
As a beginner, my husband really loves to cook. He's not a beginner. He's very good. But for me, like I'm just starting to get into cooking and I'm all about following a recipe because I don't really feel confident yet just winging it. So what are some tips that you would tell to a beginner who wants to like make healthy, good food for their family, but it not like take so much time and so much prep?
Absolutely. First of all, just like, don't be afraid. Just get in there and do it. Like okay. with everything, I feel like you just have to do it. And like that first time is intimidating and scary, but it just gets easier and easier and easier. I think finding someone, whether that's through Instagram or a cookbook that you like their style of cooking and you like their recipes is really, really awesome. Especially with Instagram. Like I do a lot of on my stories, like full start to finish cooking the recipe Amazing. With everyone. So it's almost like I'm cooking there with you. So people have found that really, really helpful. And you can see how I'm doing it. You can see that I mess up too. Like, it's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. If you burn something, like, it's totally fine. You just have to not stress about it. And I think if you take the stress away, that can really be helpful. And then pick a recipe that doesn't have 5 million ingredients.
Right.
And has ingredients that you seem to love. And the process feels relatively simple to you and it won't be as intimidating. And like there really shouldn't be 20 steps in a recipe. Like that should be no as is. So,
right.
Yeah.
And what do you think about meal prep? Because sometimes that feels intimidating to
me. I think meal prep is intimidating.
Like to just go on a Sunday, get all your ingredients one day. I don't know. Like for some reason, it's never worked for me. I find myself going to the market like three times a week.
I think that's the case for a lot of people. I think that meal planning is great. Ideally, I think it's really, really hard. I think that you should, this is what I always tell people, like, do you eat at home 5 days a week?
No.
Right. And, but like, did you try to plan for 5 days a week of eating at home?
We don't try to do that, but we try to do like at least three meals.
That's what I say. Like if you can do three meals, like if you can get them like, okay, I'm going to be out Thursday night and out Tuesday night. So I need to have some ideas for Monday, Tuesday, or whatever days I say. I don't know. You know, like if you can go to the store and shop for three nights, I think that's more manageable than shopping for five nights. And I think that like, if you don't want to spend your whole day, like do you not want to spend your whole day on Sunday cooking in the kitchen, prepping recipes?
Definitely not. I can't spend any of my time. Like, I feel like if a recipe is going to take me longer than an hour for a weeknight dinner, then I can't do it.
No, nobody can. And nobody can.
Yeah.
So then I would try to on Sunday maybe say, hey, I want to make these whatever recipes for the week. Maybe go to the grocery store, get those ingredients. But like, okay, I have those ingredients. I'm ready. But it's a 30-minute recipe, so I can handle that on Wednesday night. Like, and do it then instead of like sitting there chopping and then like, then you're chopping and you're putting it in the container and you're putting it in the fridge. It's like, this was a lot of time. And now I have to go back on Wednesday night and take
and
it all out.
And do it all again.
And
yeah.
So I would just find a recipe that feels relatively simple and, you know, try to create that night. It's like, and there's a lot of recipes in my new cookbook, not to like plug it or anything.
Yeah, no, I want to talk about your cookbook.
No, we don't.
Tell us everything.
Like, there's a lot of recipes that are 30 minutes or, you know, one.
That are really 30 minutes. Recently made a tortilla soup, chicken tortilla soup. The recipe said 90 minutes. It took me 3 hours.
Oh.
And I was a little hard on myself because I was like, oh, maybe because I'm a beginner, I'm just really slow.
Yeah.
But my husband even did it with me.
Yeah, no.
And I was like,
first
this
of all,
is false advertising.
It shouldn't take you that long.
Yeah.
I have a soup in the book and it uses, you know what it does? Go to Whole Foods, get yourself a really good jar of enchilada sauce, store-bought. Like sometimes take some help from the store. Like there's really good products out there right now. Dump it in a pan, add some broth, add the chicken, simmer 20 minutes. You have tortilla soup and it's so good.
Right. No, I know.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be like afraid or feel embarrassed to get some help with some of those brands that are actually like organic and clean and healthy.
Ina would tell you to do it. So
yeah, that's so true.
She would tell you to do it. So yeah, but there's a lot of recipes like that. And I think that you just have to find an approachable, good recipe. It doesn't need to be complicated.
Right. Because if you really, if you start off complicated,
you're
going to get turned off right away.
Oh my gosh.
And then it's not going to last.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about your book. What prompted you to write it?
Yeah.
What's it all about?
Yeah, my community, really, the whole Happy Harvest community, because I was seeing the same feedback that you're telling me. I don't want to spend an hour in the kitchen every single night. I don't want to mess these recipes up. I want them to be simple. I don't want them to be, you know, a lot of them are under 10 ingredients, but they're still really, really flavorful. Because,
that's amazing.
Yeah, because you can take a store-bought enchilada sauce that doesn't have weird ingredients in it. We have Whole Foods. We have great stores right now that are carrying incredible products that can be really good in your recipes. It doesn't all need to be homemade tomato sauce, you know?
Right.
Which would take you hours.
Right.
So there's a lot of that in there. And there's just simple ingredients, real foods, simple cook times. I do a lot of one skillet recipes, approachable recipes. That's always how I say it. Like
Amazing.
They're just approachable.
And now a word from our sponsor. OMG, I freaking love Native. I wish I had it in my purse right now because I actually forgot to put deodorant on today and I feel like I'm starting to stink. But Native is the best, you guys. It is a super clean deodorant that smells so good. It's formulated without aluminum, no parabens, no talc, and it's filled with ingredients found in nature. Some like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. Tapioca starch is actually proven to help absorb wetness, and the shea butter, as you guys may have heard of before, is a super great moisturizer and emollient. They never test on animals, which is something super important to me. And they give free shipping and returns. So I love this because deodorant is something that you use every day. And I feel like when you're using something every day, you really want to make sure you know what's in it. And like I said, Native comes in a wide variety of scents for men and women. Plus, they release new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year. They also offer an unscented formula for those who are a little sensitive to scents, and a baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. My personal favorite scent is the eucalyptus and mint, just because when I put it on, I feel like I'm at the spa. You guys must try it. I'm giving you 20% off your first purchase if you visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code WITHWIT during checkout. Again, for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code WITHWIT. And now back to our chat. Okay, so let's talk Thanksgiving, because I need some major inspiration.
Okay.
I will say that one tip that my mom always does for Thanksgiving that makes things easier is she measures and preps everything in advance.
Mm-hmm. Like all the produce?
All the produce, awesome. All the flour, like per recipe. She has like all the sugar, herbs, like everything that you can do in advance that's not going to go stale, she does. But that's my mom.
That's my biggest tip too, though, is to get everything prepped ahead of time as you can. Find as many make ahead recipes as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody will tell you this, anything that you can do beforehand to save yourself stress day of is so key.
Yeah.
So like this year, I'm actually releasing an entire Thanksgiving make ahead meal plan for Thanksgiving.
Amazing.
With just recipes that you can do. Like, I have a slow cooker mashed potatoes. So those mashed potatoes can sit in the slow cooker for hours, and you can serve them right out of the slow cooker. Like, it's so, so easy. You don't have to worry about the mashed potatoes, which I feel like are such an important part of Thanksgiving.
They are. And never really very good, if I'm being perfectly honest. Not at all, in
Whitney,
our family. I'm sorry to say.
You need to try my mashed potatoes then.
I definitely will.
Because you need a good mashed potato. They're my family's favorite.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's obviously the turkey.
Yes.
How do you do your turkey?
I have a trick. I don't know how your mom does her turkey. Did she make turkey when you do?
She always does the turkey.
Yeah. Is she doing it this time?
I'm not sure, because my husband is now involved. And since we're hosting it, he may want to take charge of it. There's different politics. Politics involved.
Yes, that
now.
Could be iffy. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, or maybe they will each make one.
Oh,
you know.
You
but what's your
well,
tip?
Well, if your husband wants to try a new one, so I do this really cool thing. I soak cheesecloth in herbed butter, like melted herb butter
that you make yourself.
Yeah. It's super simple. It's just like some butter, lemon, garlic, lots of herbs. Really simple. And then you take the cheesecloth and you soak it in there. And then what you do is you drape it over the turkey and you roast the turkey with the cloth on. So you don't ever have to cover the turkey with foil or do anything special to it. And what the cheesecloth does is it protects the skin from burning, but it keeps the turkey moist because that butter is dripping down over the turkey as it's roasting. And every single time you come out with a golden skin, it's so pretty. I've never burnt it. I've had readers comment saying, like, this turkey, the recipe is golden. Like, I thought I overcooked it, but then it wasn't. It wasn't dry. It was great.
Oh,
like, the cheesecloth is a secret.
I don't even know what a cheesecloth is.
So, I know. I'm like wondering, I'm like sitting here wondering if you do. And I'm like, but no.
I would just like go on Amazon and type
Amazon.
It in.
Yeah. I can give you the link. It's $5
okay,
on
great.
Amazon.
Is it? It's not made of cheese.
No, it's what you use to make cheese.
To like sift cheese or something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
were to make homemade ricotta, this is how you would do it. You would like squeeze out the excess moisture.
Okay.
But you can also bake with the cheesecloth. Like, it won't burn in the oven or anything like that. It will be really dark when you take it out, but you'll take it off the turkey and it'll be really pretty. And it's like, it's the best tip that I have for Thanksgiving.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've figured out the turkey, the mashed potatoes. green beans. How can we get creative with green beans?
I have yet to give my readers a green bean recipe because I don't make them.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
You don't like them?
I'm a Brussels sprouts person.
Oh.
I love Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts have become part of our menu because one of my brother-in-laws loves Brussels sprouts, but he's always in charge of them.
But maybe I need to do a green. No, it's not.
I mean, I feel like a green bean is a classic Thanksgiving thing.
It is so classic. I have seen a lot of really fun things that like people will like wrap them in bacon and do little green bean bundles, or they'll just do like simple lemon, butter with herbs. I would personally definitely roast them to give them a little bit of a texture.
Yeah, like a little more of a
crunch. How does your mom do them?
We've always just done very basic, like sauteed green beans with shallots, I think.
Shallots are so good.
Like a garlic shallot, buttery situation. And we do haricot vert.
Nice.
So that I know is those a crowd sound pretty pleaser. Good. Okay, the biscuits, we just do like Pillsbury.
Oh, no. Don't do the Pillsbury biscuits, Whitney. No. I have
the crescent rolls.
I have a super easy crescent roll recipe.
Okay.
That's on the blog that is really, really good. I have a lot of bread recipes. I'm doing a Parker House roll.
Ooh, yum.
That's releasing this week, I believe.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving.
And they're easy to make.
Easy. This one actually uses instant yeast. It's like takes under an hour to make.
Okay. Parker rolls. Those sound amazing.
Yes. Really easy, simple, like if you have flour, if you have some honey. Mine are like a honey butter roll. So just that, like there's that, I like a sweet and savory aspect a lot. So, but the honey adds really nice. And then I use salted butter too, which I think makes all the difference. Because just a little extra touch of salt. So, but it's literally just like flour and egg, butter and salt.
Oh my God.
It's so simple.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. So what are some other like unexpected recipes that you are doing?
I just shared actually, I feel like you would like this one too, a Hasselback butternut squash. It's really pretty.
Ooh.
And you just take butternut squash and you have it and then you thinly slice it and then you roast it. And I did like a breadcrumb topping for it to give it a little bit of crunch. Really good. And it's like a lighter side. It's not super heavy. I always feel like with Thanksgiving, it's really nice to have some lighter sides because the meal is a heavy meal, whether you're doing the mashed potatoes and I always do mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes.
Yeah. And my family likes like there's like an au gratin potato that one family member likes. And then there's like the stuffing
there's so many different unhealthy sides.
Yeah.
So I always do the biggest salad on Thanksgiving. Like some people eat it, some people don't, but always do the biggest salad.
That's smart. We never have salad.
Really?
No, I mean like we never have salad for Thanksgiving.
No, I know.
Not like I never eat salad.
I'm just shocked. I love salad on Thanksgiving. You have to have like a good crunchy
like
green.
Like good fall.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, green with apples or something.
Yes, that's exactly. Yes. That's my Thanksgiving salad is I do an apple kale salad and like a really good shallot dressing.
Yum.
With like herbs and then I'll do pomegranates on top, which make it really pretty. And I'll switch out the cheese, whether it's like a goat cheese or maybe a burrata. Just keeping it simple flavors so that it doesn't mess with all the other flavors. But it's just like a nice palate cleanser, I feel like.
And do you guys do stuffing?
Yeah, but we're not a big stuffing family, actually. But last year I did a mushroom and croissant stuffing that was really.
That sounds so good.
It was like, the croissants kind of made it just a lot better.
Is cooking like still relaxing for you or does it feel like a little bit of a job?
Yeah, I think when I'm cooking during the day, it feels like a job. I mean, and it's not that it's not fun. It is still, and I'm so thankful to do it as a job. But like when I'm cooking for my family or just for friends and I don't have to worry about measuring ingredients, does this recipe work? Like how is it looking? That's still relaxing, you know? But like, during my everyday day-to-day, it's a little bit more like I have to be on my game, make sure that I'm writing everything down so that I get the measurements right. So yeah, it's definitely still a little bit of a job. Not that it's not fun though.
No, I totally get what you mean. It's not like you're just following a recipe and then
It's not like I have a glass of wine in hand, you know? No,
You have to make note of everything and photograph every step.
Exactly.
And there's a lot more like minutiae to it when you have to do it.
Yeah.
Back to hosting real quick. So I obviously want to make a beautiful table as well.
I love a tablescape.
Yeah. But I feel like Thanksgiving, it's always the same. You know, it's always like fall colors and a little bit of gold and a little bit of pumpkin and like burgundies and burnt orange. And I'm just like kind of over it. Do you have any good inspiration for design?
I have a question for you. You're so creative. Like, have you ever incorporated like food into your tablescapes?
Last year I did like little clementines.
Okay.
We tie-dyed our own tablecloths.
Cute.
And then we had little clementines. But no, I've never done anything else.
So what I love to do to make the table like really special, since it's Thanksgiving, I'm always using a ton of apples, a ton of pomegranates, and then like the really cute little mini pumpkins. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like to keep the center like not super high so that people can talk
right
over each other, right, not having to be talking over flowers or something. And I also love eucalyptus too. So I like to like make a food tablescape essentially and kind of like, you know, the pomegranates are always so pretty.
Like cut them in half?
Sometimes I will, yeah. Or sometimes okay. I've done two like a platter in the middle of the table of just really pretty produce. It's cheap. It's affordable. It's so easy.
Do you have pictures of that?
I do.
On
I'll
your
have
feed?
To show you.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Okay, good.
From last year, and I'm going to do a new one this year too. So
okay, good.
And like, I just think it's fun too because it's like, this is seasonal produce. This was cheap. It's not like super fancy, but it's really pretty. But yeah, that's kind of what I like to do. And then I always on the actual plates, I think it's really nice if you have the time to like bake something and put it on the plate and like be the name. I don't know if you do name tags.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yes.
And like,
I
so
do.
Sometimes I've done like little mini personal pies or, but like if you want to keep it easy, like just sugar cookies and
right.
it is in the shape of a turkey. Like it's just a,
or
really,
maybe I'll have Sunny help me decorate
exactly.
a cute cookie.
Like I feel like Thanksgiving especially too is all about, you know, just like showing your appreciation and thanks to people. Like mm-hmm. those little special touches that are like, I worked hard on this meal for everyone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be so cute if he decorated the cookies. And
that would be
you
so
you just
cute.
Put them on the plate and it looks really, you can like sort of prop them up with like the napkin or whatever. I don't know how you set your table, but
yeah,
there's so many different ways you can do it now. And it's just fun and it just incorporates even more of the meal into the whole dinner.
Yeah, I think that's so cute.
Yeah.
And I think you sparked an idea for me, like maybe even putting in their napkin like a little note of why you're thankful
yes,
for them, like
I
writing
love
a personal
that.
Thing
yes.
for each person. But I'm definitely going to put Sunny to work and have him decorate
he
cookies.
He would have
and
so
then
much fun with it,
he
too.
He can write like what he calls
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cute.
That's also like, go get some Foodstuhr's cookie mix if you
yeah.
like, don't want to bake the cookies. Again, like you don't have to do it all. I
right.
think that people feel like they have to do it all. And that's when you end up stressed out. Like, I want to pull my hair out and I'm never hosting
Thanksgiving. And not enjoying it.
Yeah.
That's the hard part is that like you spend so much time prepping
mm-hmm.
and then you eat in 5 minutes and then it's over.
It's over.
It's
You're like what? Was
yeah.
that out for?
Yeah. My biggest tip for everybody for Thanksgiving is to like really sit and enjoy, especially the hosts.
Yes.
Like I would always get frustrated that my mom would never be sitting down mm-hmm. with us at dinner because she was still working on like
the
next course or what would,
yeah.
you know? And so I just think it's so important that we just forget about like all our duties and really at least spend some time sitting
yeah,
at a table together.
That's what it's all about too,
yeah.
you know, like family, friends, talking, being there. And I think that too, having recipes that you like don't have to worry about so much, just unfussy recipes is
yeah.
what you need.
Yeah.
And they're going to taste good too. Like
right.
the fancy recipes don't necessarily taste that great, you know?
It's true.
So keep it simple.
Yeah. And a good cocktail, right?
Right. But do a pitcher, please. Like,
okay.
Don't do like, I have like, do a sangria, do just like a margarita in a pitcher. Do, I really love mules, Masco mules.
Yeah, delicious.
I do cocktail Saturday, every single Saturday for the holidays through November and December. So.
Where you just like invite friends over?
No, like
or
on social.
Oh,
yes.
I'm like, oh my God,
so
what a fun thing to do on Saturday.
I wish, right? No, but people love it. It's, you know, cocktails. Season.
Yeah.
You gotta have a good cocktail at your party. So.
Right. I mean, especially when emotions are running high and family is stressed.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really fun. So I have lots of cocktail ideas for you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So fun. So where can we find you and your book?
Yeah. I'm Half-Baked Harvest like on Instagram, halfbakedharvest.com. So all socials, Half-Baked Harvest. And you can buy the book wherever books are sold.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you loved this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review because I want to hear from you guys. You can let me know what you thought of this episode or anything more you want to hear about. Thanks. Peace in the streets.